Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
It's not another Buffalo podcast. The bi-weekly show hosted by three of the most underqualified sports personalities this side of the canal. With Pat.
And people want to hate on him, but like, Matt Ryan was a generational talent. Like, say what you want.
Oh.
The biggest comeback in Super Bowl history away from being Super Bowl champion, Matt Ryan, too.
Brando.
Hey, Pat, would you say Drew Brees or Matt Ryan is generational?
Both. Both have MVPs.
And John.
Pat, I have a question for you. Is Cam Newton a generational talent?
I mean, yes!
Oh,
yes!
Oh,
yes!
No,
yes!
No!
It hurts me to say this. Absolutely.
Joe Flacco
not.
Has a Super
Joe
Bowl
Flacco.
MVP.
Look at the stats, dog.
He has a Super Bowl MVP.
Look at the stats.
Your argument said that Matt Ryan went to a Super Bowl. Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl.
Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl, and then people were like,
Joe Flacco,
first elite.
On Buffalo Rumblings.
All right, welcome back to Not Another Buffalo Podcast. I'm John. I'm here with Pat and Brando, part of the Buffalo Rumblings network of good podcasts and us. It is still Monday when we are recording this, so our apologies if something crazy happens in the world of sports between now and Friday. But we should have you covered since it's the off season and nothing's really happening. We're talking about position battles at the bottom of the roster for the Bills and looking at articles of people telling stories about Tom Brady stuff from way back in the day. So how are you guys doing? Let me start off with that. And I don't want to jump in too quick here, even though we've had this conversation already today.
Well, considering between the last time we talked, all I did was have four pot stickers and a handful of Fig Newtons, I'm not going to complain.
Hey, that's a good snack. Pat, what did you get for your meal in between? Or you didn't get anything?
Black and Mild Jazz. I got some on deck, though. I got some shredded wheat and some oat milk ready.
Nice. Hey, oat milk. I'm almost ashamed to say this, but oat milk and coffee is better than real milk.
Oh, dude. Oat milk and coffee tastes like p***, dude. I hate
what?
Oat milk
so you
and coffee.
Like oat milk and you hate it in coffee?
Yes, it tastes terrible. It doesn't even change it. It like the color of it. If it changed the color more so, I have to eat half and I have
right,
to drink
so
half and half.
You might
maybe if there was
might,
oat milk creamer, but
there is oat milk creamer and it's delicious. So you should try some of that. It's a little bit less liquidy, like regular oat milk. If you don't shake it up enough, is kind of it's almost bluish. You know,
you already lost
like,
me.
It's like, yeah,
you lost me.
Anyway, oat milk and coffee.
It would help your insides feel better, Brando. It really would.
Dude, it totally would, but I will take what happens to me and enjoy my cup of coffee with the vanilla creamer every time.
Yeah, I'm all about the creamer.
Enjoy with an asterisk, big asterisk but, next to it.
Yes. Speaking of asterisks, listen to this transition. Speaking of asterisks, the asterisk next to Tom Brady is that he's an asshat. And when you look at this new article that just came out on EssentiallySports.com.
We're really great at transitioning here on another Buffalo podcast.
Sombrero de cuyo for you Spanish
smooth
listeners.
As peanut butter, chunky peanut butter. Yeah, so we saw this article. We thought it'd be worth at least 5 minutes of talking about. But anyway, Brandon, you wanna give us the lowdown?
Yeah, just the author. I don't know if you saw the author's name, but if you could give us a pronunciation. I'll give you $1 million.
Anuj Tahatsavitil.
Anyway, this is it's an article from EssentiallySports.com, and really it's just about Garrett Wilson going on a podcast with a couple of former NFL players, and they were kind of giving him the lowdown on what to expect as a rookie and kind of the NFL fraternity hazing that he can expect to see. You know, we've heard stories about guys bringing up big bills and then charging the rookies, right? Like that happens once before every season where they have a big team dinner and the rookies foot the bill. But this story, so Brandon, let's tell us what happens here with Brady.
It's just Fred Taylor, who did play for the Patriots for two seasons in the late 2000s, said Tom Brady would come in to their dinner buy a $3,000-$5,000 bottle of wine, take one sip, say goodnight, and leave. So they know that the bill would come out to be about $50,000-$60,000 and just walk out, say bye. But they say on here that that's just part of the, you know, part of the boat ride with Tom. He'll give you a Super Bowl, but you got to do this and deal with him being a clown.
I guarantee you Fred Taylor did the same thing to rookies when he was in Jacksonville, though. Like, I watched the Hard Knocks. I remember the iconic Dallas Cowboys Hard Knocks. And I mean, I think it's a legal tradition. And also, I mean, Nobel laureate in economics, Angus Deaton, with the Ivy League institution, University of Pennsylvania, said that there is no change in happiness from $75,000 and above. So really, I don't know how much that would affect someone's happiness. And like, I mean, maybe, you know, it's worth it when you can make another rookie pay for your wine, considering that rookies will make more and more and more after Jamarcus Russell broke the system. But,
so anyway, we were just looking at Fred Taylor's Wikipedia here. And I already told you guys off the air, but I thought it was worth mentioning. Taylor was drafted 9th overall in the 1998 NFL draft by the Jaguars, with the first of two picks they acquired in a trade with the Buffalo Bills in exchange for quarterback Rob Johnson. So I thought that was kind of funny to tie it all back to the Bills. But
interesting fact about Rob Johnson also, what team did he win a Super Bowl with?
Buccaneers, right?
Yep. Clipboard, man.
He was the backup, right? Yeah,
to the other Johnson.
Brady?
Yes.
Brady Johnson. Brad Johnson. This was interesting because they were comparing it to like the Stanley Cup in the NHL, where all 22 players on the roster get a day with the cup.
But I heard this on GR this morning.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, does the backup quarterback touch the trophy? Because they said no, they don't think he does. Because, you know, you look at the podium, it's your receiver, your safety, your corner, and your quarterback and the owner. And it's like,
yeah, because this was all based off of a hypothetical posted on Twitter by, I don't know if it's Pro Football Talk or something like that. Would you rather be league MVP or would you rather be a backup on the Super Bowl?
You're right. I forgot about that part. Yeah,
you're good. We could have that debate on this show, but they already had it on there. And I feel like we'd end up doing way too much on that. We got some other stuff to get to, but interesting. So, you know, go check out the comments on that post on Twitter. I'm sure you'll get a wide range of opinions and slander for backup quarterbacks of years past. For sure.
All I'm saying is Jerry Krause's very average looking self was holding like 6 NBA trophies with the Bulls. So if Jerry Krause, who probably could not dribble a basketball more than 3 times consecutively without falling over, can hold the trophy, hopefully Rob Johnson got to hold it. Like,
yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing is the NFL owners get to hold the trophy first.
Yeah. And that's a debate too in itself. Yeah, right?
Like, exactly. I think that was drafted in our worst sports traditions draft. I think that went pretty high. That was definitely a top 3 pick.
Didn't you take it?
I think I did. But anyway, we're talking the Bills wide receiver battle this week. Interesting because we now, with the addition of Tavon Austin, have kind of a controversial battle at the back end of the roster, because historically in the McBean era, the Bills have only kept 6 wide receivers every single year. Every single year we think number 6 and number 7 are pretty close. They got to keep both of these guys for special teams and yada, yada, yada. And they only ever keep 6. So looking at this year, we've got some guys in the mix. I'm looking at a roster projection from the Buffalo News. This is from Jay Skirsky. So he has the Bills keeping 7 this year, which they have never done. So that list of 7 would be Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis, Jamison Crowder, Isaiah McKenzie, Khalil Shakir, Tavon Austin, and Jake Kumerow. That would include cuts to Tanner Gentry, Marquez Stevenson, Isaiah Hodgins, and Neil Pau, I think is how you say his name.
But, can you say the cut list one more time?
You're going to make me try to not glaze
over. No, the first couple you said.
Okay, Tanner Gentry, Marquez Stevenson, Isaiah Hodgins, and Neil Pau.
Now, do you think Tanner Gentry gets a pass because he was Josh's number one option at Wyoming back in the day? I feel like that's the only reason he's in camp in the first place, is just Josh wants to hang out with one of his boys before he ultimately gets cut.
True. Every year. I mean, and again, a lot of these guys, I mean, would make, if they're not going to get picked up by another squad, they might make good practice squad candidates, which is something to keep in mind with these guys. But with a name like, I mean, I'm not saying Marquez Stevenson is a huge name. He's the kind of guy who, if you cut, he's going to get picked up by another team. They were worried about that last year. And I remember they made a lot of strategic moves. I think he started the season on the roster, but he was on IR, so he didn't count towards the 53. Because remember, he had a pretty big injury in like the last preseason game.
Yeah.
I think a lot of this depends on the return game as well. When you're talking about Marquez Stevenson, like, is Khalil Shakir everything you could have wanted in a returner? Any possible need for Marquez Stevenson as a returner is kind of nullified at that point.
But you're really in the depth because McKenzie should be the one doing it anyways.
That's what I'm asking is this is all assuming that we don't want Isaiah McKenzie doing it this year. And I think that, you know, if we're all taking our pick for what we want, I to me, that makes sense. You know, feel free to debate me on it if I'm wrong, but it's not just about his ball security or his returner ability or anything like that. As a kick returner, I think he's totally fine. You know, returning punts, not so confident. He did have some fumbles in crucial areas last year, and they started putting Micah Hyde back there. But in an ideal world, he's not doing any of that because he's contributing to the offense. And in the McBean era, people who have been kick returners have not historically contributed big numbers to the offense or gotten a large number of snaps. That was true when they had Andre Roberts back there. Who else has returned punts and kicks for the Bills? It's been an array of people.
Micah
Hyde has returned punts. Yeah, like in a pinch. But certainly you don't want him taking hits back there either.
I mean, Tavon Austin also has. He's returned
exactly.
Some punts, but
he's a part of this mix too.
Not to like really rag on this man, but he has had 24 fumbles in 9 seasons as a pro, including 3 seasons where he had 5 fumbles. So I don't know. I'm not necessarily the most confident in him back there either. I think he's kind of a draft bust, but he does have experience back there as well.
That's true. So, I mean, we might be looking at, you know, 3 or 4 guys who can do it. So maybe they just play the hot hand, but at the same time, I mean, I don't think that there's an Andre Roberts type on this roster right now where you can say, boom, that's the guy to return punts and kicks. And we're going to feel really good about him back there. You know, just hand him the starting job and forget about it for the rest of the season. So certainly you can run into issues with that because you're going to have to make changes midseason because somebody's struggling or something like that. But Brandon, how do you see this shaking out? Like, who would you keep? And I guess, what do we do if they're only keeping 6? Because the 7 that we're looking at is Diggs, Davis, Crowder, McKenzie, Shakir, Austin, and Jake Kumerow. And Jake Kumerow is obviously a huge addition on special teams. Are we looking at Tavon Austin not making it and then just having McKenzie? Are we looking at Tavon Austin taking on the Isaiah McKenzie role? I heard some people bring that up. I don't necessarily agree with that, but what do you think? If you had to cut one of those 7, who would you pick?
I think Tavon Austin doesn't make it. But is he's outside the 7 right now?
He's inside the 7 right now.
Yeah, I cut him and I keep Kumerow because Austin's role will be filled by somebody else. He's not number 2 on, he's not a backup. He's not the backup's backup. He is coming to push them. It should be good for the rookies. And I mean, Stevenson's a sophomore now, but it'll be good for our new receiver rookie. Can you say his name again for me one more time?
Khalil Shakir.
I think Austin comes in to show them how a pro would approach training camp in this time of the year, but pushing them, maybe he's a practice squad player. But Kumerow has a role on this team. He has a role on other teams in the NFL. We already know that. Like, Aaron Rodgers would call him right now and get him back if he could. Just to see him succeed in Green Bay would be really bad. Just to see him get picked up anywhere. Whereas, like, I don't think if Austin doesn't make our roster, maybe he's making, like, I don't know, Baltimore, or he's making somebody else, but not.
Baltimore is a good pick. I mean, Pat and I talked about this. A lot of veterans don't want to go there because it's not very receiver friendly, but at the same time, they don't have a ton of wide receiver depth, but
they might not have a choice.
They also drafted, I think they drafted 2 wide receivers as well this year. So they might have a lot of young depth, but now correct me if I'm wrong. Tavon Austin is more of a slot guy, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, he's a dual threat guy though too, because he had a couple years where he had 400 plus rushing yards as well.
Interesting. So he could do some of that Isaiah McKenzie stuff, but I mean, I wonder how speedy he is at this point in his career. You said he's in his 10th year.
Yeah, I mean that's my deal too, is that Number two, I would say, is that I feel like Isaiah Hodgins has waited patiently these past 2 years. And obviously they must think something of him because they've kept him on the practice squad. And I would like to see him, if he is the last guy indeed looking out, have a shot. He also, you know, he has a lot of size at that position. I don't think he could necessarily return punts, but something to consider as well. So
who do you replace out of that six or seven that we already have with Hodgson? Because as of this projection, Isaiah Hodgins is on the outside looking in. So who do you keep him over, do you think?
Well, did you have Tavon Austin on the roster?
He's part of the seven. If you go down to six and cut Tavon Austin, so say they keep six wide receivers, who out of basically be McKenzie, Kumaro, or Shakir, or Crowder, I guess, if you want to say that. But I think Crowder is pretty much a lock at this point.
No, I agree. I think if they keep seven, then I would drop Austin and bring in Hodgins. But it's hard too, because like you said, I think Jake Kumaro, and I don't know, this is like 2011 drought Pat talking, but you know, he means a lot to the team regardless of statistics. And my only other concern with this is that whoever you put back there at punt returner, I think that Isaiah McKenzie, at least at this point in his career, deserves to, if they're going to use him in the punt game, they should also make an effort to use him more in the passing game, because I feel like, you know, when he did have to step up, especially in that Patriots game, like he was effective, and it's not fair to him to, you know, make him a one-dimensional player when in reality, you know, he can do it all. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's, the way that they used him in the Patriots game was, I don't know if you guys saw his route tree, like the next gen stats thing.
It was all slants,
it
right?
was all drag routes across the middle, you know, where he's not making a move. He's not running a clean route. He's just literally running free across the middle of the field as a man beater. So if they can get him doing what he does best in, you know, packaged into the rest of the offense, I'd be super happy with that. The other part to consider here is the depth at outside wide receiver for the Bills. Because if Tavon Austin is more of a slot receiver, even if he is a dual threat, does he play outside at all? Because I think that that's where Kumaro might have an edge on him. And, you know, you can say what you want about going into the season and saying that Kumaro is your third outside wide receiver. Yeah, because there is still the possibility that they add somebody.
Yeah. I mean, physically speaking, he's only like 5'8", like 170. Austin.
Yeah, so he's a smaller guy. Not saying he can't play outside, and honestly not saying that Isaiah McKenzie can't play outside, because he might be able to a little bit. But I mean, you're thinking Diggs, Davis, those are your outside receivers, and then there's a drop off. Whereas like as far as slot guys, they got plenty of slot guys. You got Crowder, you've got McKenzie, who's great in the slot. Who else? I mean, Khalil Shakir is also more of a slot guy at this point. I'm not sure if they might try to spread him out at all, but yeah, so that might be a point in Kumaro's favor as well. So
I think we're at the point of the life cycle of this team between, I think it'll be more as we get going too in the next year and two. But you have to play the guys you pay, and you're going to need to be able to get production from them in ways that are going to change games, right? You need a guy like Isaiah McKenzie to fill multiple roles. Even if he is starting, he's getting paid a little more now. We need production from him.
Not that much more, though.
Yeah, I mean, still, you know what I mean, though? Like, the roster is going to get slimmed down. We might not have the depth that we've had before. So we don't want Micah Hyde catching the ball. We want somebody to make an impact. And is Isaiah McKenzie good enough to do that? Yes, but what are they going to do? Is he going to get hurt? But even if he gets hurt, you could fill in somebody else, but I don't know. I think we're going to need these guys to step up and play, especially when the schedule gets tougher and the difference in these games is so minor, right? When we lose these little games, when we lose these games by such a little bit, we need guys to step up, and McKenzie might be the guy that steps up to give us a spark, whereas we might not get that with one of these other players. So you gotta start, you know, putting your money where your mouth is, so to speak, with these guys on the team. I think we might see a shift, is what I'm saying, is McDermott's philosophies continue to grow as the team grows.
Yeah. And I mean, historically for McBean, we've definitely seen, you know, the fringe players that make the roster are special teams guys. And, you know, you can say that that's making an impact where it counts. But I mean, look at, how many offensive snaps did Tywan Jones take last year? Like next to none. You know, they only use him sparingly. So It'll be interesting. He was the captain of the special teams. He is, you know, kind of a core special teamer. But if they can get that kind of production from a gunner standpoint from someone else who's actually going to contribute on offense as well, then I think they'll do it. Not sure if we're going to see another year of Tywan Jones here where he's kind of taken up one of those running back spots on the roster. But if you want to keep seven wide receivers, you got to get that other roster position from somewhere. So you're probably rolling with two QBs. You know, maybe you only keep two tight ends plus the fullback who kind of can play tight end if you need him to.
Yeah, look at the D line too, right? Look at who you're carrying on these lines.
And historically, I think they've always kept a lot of defensive linemen as well. So anyway, I mean, we could have 2 hours of conversation about predicting the roster. And I'm sure, you know, once we get in the midst of training camp, some of this stuff will kind of clear up. And then, you know, as we get closer to that final 53 being announced, we'll definitely be talking about it more. But interesting to see how the wide receiver battle plays out. And especially because if we don't know if they're going to keep seven or six, and they might still add another outside guy as well. So, but we're keeping an eye on it. And I put together one little trivia piece for you guys based on wide receivers. This should be, it's not 13 seconds timed or anything like that, but we're going to see how well you remember the not so distant past here. So in 2017, the year the Bills broke the drought, there were six wide receivers who started a game for the Bills. Can you name all of them?
Yes.
Let's see here. Marquise Goodwin.
Are you ready?
Robert Foster.
Robert Foster.
Nope.
Goodwin.
Nope. 2017.
Calvin Benjamin. Oh, 17.
Calvin Benjamin 17. Is one.
Calvin
Benjamin. Zay Jones.
That's two.
It's not Deontay
rookie
Thompson.
Zay Jones, right? He's a rookie, yeah.
Pat said Deontay Thompson. That's three.
Did we get to Brandon Riley?
Nope.
Didn't play in the regular season?
Yeah, he didn't start a game.
Brandon Tate?
Yeah, would be a good pick.
You got okay. four.
You said Deontay Thompson already.
Two more.
Who did they have catch the ball?
Duke Williams?
Nope. It wasn't Duke time yet.
We should know these.
You remember
it wasn't that long ago.
Oh God.
Oh, Justin Hunter.
Nope.
Really?
Are you sure?
Do you guys? No, I'm positive. I have a hint.
Oh, Holmes. Holmes. Santonio. No. What's his first name?
You're close.
It's Holmes. Holmes.
Yes. Holmes. Andre Holmes.
Andre.
There you go. All
are you right, sure Justin Hunter didn't?
Positive. You guys are going to kick yourself when you hear this. I totally forgot about this guy.
Hold on. Let me go back in my mind.
Brandon, you look like you're looking at something. I hope you're not cheating.
I searched Justin Hunter because I want to see who he played for in 2017, and it was Pittsburgh.
Ray McLeod?
Nope. That was a good guess.
Is it Isaiah?
Nope.
McKenzie? No, he's on the Broncos at that point, I think.
As soon as I give you the guys either of these hints, it's going to give it away.
Give us a hint.
Let's say hang on a second.
This player famously said that there was nothing else to do in Buffalo besides make babies.
Oh, yeah. What's this face? It's the guy who we got. He played this much time here.
No, it's not. It's not Anquan Boldin either, I don't think.
No.
I was thinking
Anquan Boldin. I think this was his only season with the Bills.
Golden Tate.
When he went to Philly?
Yes, Philly is correct.
It's Golden Tate or Percy Harvin?
It's not Golden Tate or Percy Harvin after both of those. Or Golden Tate might have been after that. I don't remember.
Nothing to do but make babies.
But Percy Harvin was Rex Ryan.
I remember this quote, but I don't remember the guy. I have no idea. Give us another hint.
Yeah, give us another hint.
Initials are JM.
Something Marshall. Let's see.
Uh-huh. Oh gosh, people are gonna be yelling at their phones again.
JM. Was he a veteran when we got him?
Yeah. First name Jordan. And this is like me doing Jordan Matthews.
Jordan Matthews, the trade.
He came from the Eagles. He did. And he was supposed to be hyped. And then he hurt himself.
Yes, yeah. He was part of the Darby trade. I should have said that. You're correct, Brandon. But yeah, hey, I actually kind of stumped you guys on one
you
of
did.
Those.
So, I didn't know that.
So maybe that's
wow, good. That was a pretty shallow wide receiver room now that we...
Yes, right?
Goddamn, dude, bless you. Bless you, McBean.
Oh, that's hilarious. All right, well, we're in a much better place now trying to argue about who's going to be the sixth wide receiver. I feel like the sixth wide receiver on this roster will be better than the second wide receiver on that roster. Maybe even the first, because the best wide receiver... Yeah. Also, another name on there who never started a game but did play four games, Kalyan Clay is a name you might recognize.
No.
Funny enough, Joe Webb is also listed as a wide receiver on this roster.
Won us the snow game, if I recall.
That's what I was thinking, because the guy threw it to him in the snow game against the Colts. That's who I was thinking in
Joe Webb played quarterback in that game and also caught a pass, I think. Didn't he?
He started a game at quarterback for the Vikings, too.
Yep. But he did not have any starts as a wide receiver. Really? So he is.
I was thinking, I guess Joe Webb, would have been a good guess too, Brando.
Anyway.
Anyways.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this one. You guys know where to find us on Twitter at NotBuffPodcast. I don't know if we're going to have a poll for this one. But I guess we'll just ask you guys if you think the Bills are going to keep six or seven wide receivers. And if you do keep seven, then what position are you taking away from? Is it tight end? Is it defensive? Defensive line. So interesting to see. But all right. Well, we'll be back next Wednesday. But until then, go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.